Okay, calling Monica, Bill Barnes.
Good morning.
Hi, friend. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. How do I sound?
You sound like super clear. And really confident.
Well,
and
yeah.
Really just like ready to roll.
I know. Well, I knew you were calling.
Yeah, okay.
So
so that gave you a boost of confidence?
Gave me a boost of confidence.
Why are you laughing at that? That sounds like it would actually be like a really nice kind of summation of our friendship, but you made it into a joke.
Oh, no. I've just been really ready. I've been at the ready, you know, just in case you called a little early. I'm just, oh, God.
You want to do the pitch at the top?
I mean,
I think you should. Okay, you ready?
I think it's good.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, okay. Let's shake things up. Here we go. Pitch at the top. Here we go. We've never done this before. It's coming.
Hi, everybody. It's Monica and Robbie, and we are coming
Hello.
To you to ask you to support the company. I'm going to say something that I don't usually say, which is that things are tough right now. There's been a lot of cutbacks in funding and in performances, and we continue with your support. Thank you so much for being interested in what we're doing.
Friend, that was fantastic.
Ah, did you like how I said something hard?
Oh, it's just the truth. It is the truth.
Yeah,
I think
it's the truth.
It would be kind of crazy to pretend that somehow the entire arts economy has suffered over the past couple of years, except for us.
Yeah, except for us.
like we're doing great. Everyone else is definitely falling apart, downsizing, cutting back, doing less, but not us. Anyway, so I appreciated the truth there. I thought that was great.
Thanks.
And not your
about
style.
So much. No, I know. That's why I had to call attention to it.
Yeah. It's like when you're going to like, if I was going to show up to work in a suit, I would have to be like, guys, I'm wearing a suit today.
Yeah. And I know it's not like me to wear a suit, and here I am in a suit.
Yeah, I look great in a suit, so I probably should.
You really do.
Yeah. Speaking of suits.
Yeah.
This episode is going to be called How Did We Get Here?
Oh, that seems perfect.
And I think that, you know, that we have this motto that's kind of following us around like a problem. We say we're bringing dance where it doesn't belong.
Yeah.
Which, like, could you just maybe do a quick, like, what's the history of that motto? I feel like...
Oh, it's such... Yeah.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
I love the history. Well, it started when you and I first met and we were working together and we were on a long flight. We were on tour and I was trying to rewrite the company's mission statement and it was incredibly long-winded as I can be. And I just felt like I wasn't really saying anything. And I believe I passed the computer. I think you were sitting behind me and I asked if you wouldn't mind looking over the company's mission statement, and you had known the company and me and us, you know, for 2 months, three tops, and within just a few minutes, I feel like you sort of said, like, it just seems like there's a way to say something that you're like, that you're doing, that, you know, that sort of seems like maybe important, which is like you're just sort of trying to, like, you know, bring dance where it doesn't belong. And then I feel like it was really, that really felt like a self-assigned sort of point of inspiration that we took on in our collaborations to really sort of double down. I feel like that was like you were sort of speaking to like something that was really deep in my like intentions. And then I feel like the work we've made together has like so profoundly actualized that idea. And you know, I could go through each show and sort of
Yeah. but I think our listeners are very happy to know that you can and could.
Yeah. No, I but then, yeah. And that, you know, it just feels like it means like Well, you know what it means.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Sorry, I know. I was. Thank you
You're
for
worried I
not
was going
letting
to go
me interrupt.
direct the show.
No, I just wanted to point out that I have. Yes, as every story has like multiple versions.
Yeah.
As
What's
this,
that?
As this tiny radio podcast, whatever this is, has revealed that there are, you know, many sides to the memories of things.
Yes.
One clear debate I have with you about your version of things is I was not sitting behind you. I was sitting in front of you. And that,
man, I'm really sticking to behind.
I could just totally see how that is how it would be in your version. And it's important to me because one game, as we've mentioned, we sometimes just need to play games to keep us
yes.
entertained on tour. And
yes.
one game that I play is whose hotel room is on the highest floor,
oh,
as if that's
game.
Some status
yes.
you want to achieve. And I always get really excited when that's me.
Yes.
So I think I was sitting in front of you, but the other thing I would say about it is just like, to any of the English majors out there, as I was,
yes,
this was on my end simply a exercise in removing the passive voice.
Oh,
from what you were working on, I feel like you were saying a lot of things like passively,
like
yeah. And I know that I know you're kind of upset at me for describing you as passive. You're not passive. I know. You have
yeah.
your moments. We all do. But yeah, I was simply trying to put your passive voice writing into an active voice, and it became bringing dance where it doesn't belong.
Yeah. Is it the same? Does your memory the same?
There was like a kind of, yes, it was, you were working on the mission statement. I was sitting in front of you. Definitely. First class.
Definitely.
You were in coach. And, and you asked me for help. In a strange way, like, which has always been a constant point. Like, do you want to help me, or are you mad at me? Like, do you want my help? I don't totally know. Are you firing me? Are you asking me for help? Yeah. Never quite sure. And I don't know. I think probably because I'm not a dancer, I don't have. I've never had with you this sense of like, I don't really ask. I mean, I think I'm a careful person, like,
yeah,
for the most part.
Yeah, I would agree.
But I think there's a way in which like dancers to choreographers are usually very deferential in a way that I'm
yes.
not with you.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty different than people that you've maybe worked with in the past, because I just kind of took what you were doing and I erased a lot and just threw a bunch out and then rewrote a thing based on like the feeling of what you were trying to say, which I think was I don't know. And I feel like I kind of went off on a tangent there about like part of what I think our relationship sort of subsists on is the fact that I'm not a dancer, so I don't have this sense of deferential to your authority.
Oh, God.
As a choreographer.
Yeah. It's so awful when you say it that way. And I totally agree.
Anyway.
Yeah.
None of this is pertinent to what we're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so you asked, though, is my memory of it the same?
I think
it is. It's, except that I was sitting in front of you.
Right. First class.
First class, for sure. And, and then you were working on the mission statement. And then I tried to take these things you were trying to say and then said them in a different way that felt more sort of like active. Because you were talking about like dancing, like just combining dance with all these different things. You were talking about comedy and you were talking about radio with Ira Glass. You were talking about like site-specific work, like this thing in a fountain that you had made that people still talk about and love. You were talking about, just all these avenues, not even necessarily venues or locations, but literally just like avenues for dance to exist as a sort of mode of meaning. And I don't know, I kind of just slammed it into a phrase that felt like it was fun.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, and I feel like there was such a, I mean, I remember it feeling like I handed my computer, well, you know, backwards, because you were right there behind me. And I feel like you were like, sure, I'll look at this. And then in my memory, it just
Do
sort of
I
went like.
sound like that in your mind? Like, I think, because that did not sound friendly. Sure,
like,
I'll look
I
at this.
remember feeling very awkward about
Was I
asking.
smoking a cigar? Sure, I'll look at
Smoking
this.
jacket, and you were like, sure, like you were just, but you know, I feel like it was a bit of an odd, you know, we're also traveling, and you know, most people would consider that like kind of off time.
Yeah, I could catch up on my Netflix.
Yeah, and I, you know, sort of feel like, I don't know, can sometimes just feel like on all the time. So I feel like I was a bit, it felt a bit awkward to sort of interrupt and ask, and also just self-conscious to sort of say like, I'm, you know, it's a version of kind of talking about yourself, you know, and then asking somebody else to get invested and like, do all these clothes look good on me? Weird, you know, like there's like this self-conscious thing. So I feel like I felt nervous in asking. And then.
And that came across to me as a little bit of like, don't help me with this. Help me with this.
Exactly. They help me only if you want to. Also, I don't care.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I see how that could be confusing. And then in my memory, it felt like, you know, 35 seconds of just furious typing. And then you just sort of handed it back to me.
I don't think that's true, but that's hilarious.
It really just felt, and the thing that I really loved was that I felt like, yes, I agree. Like I was trying to sort of, you know, talk about all these different like impulses and you know, ways of sharing movement in different contexts. But I also felt like it felt like you were seeing something in the work that we had just gotten to know each other that felt like really what I wanted to have the work be and continue to grow into. I think that's the thing that I really love about bringing dance where it doesn't belong, was that it really felt like it's been this motto that I feel like we've continued to try and understand how to like step up to and grow into and take further.
And
that was what surprised me.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I would say a motto that now haunts us.
Yes.
To get back to the reason we're talking in this episode. No, that's okay. Yeah, yeah. It was only a 13-minute tangent. So maybe this episode is in two parts. There's the 13-minute tangent. That it began with, and then there's to get back to the episode.
Yes, right.
How did we get here?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's me.
And I do. I feel like you and I field a lot of strange requests, and I really think part of the reason we field them, well, one, I think we seem pretty affable, and we seem pretty open. Two, I think it's the motto.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, just I'm gonna rattle off a couple of strange requests that come to my mind. I'm sure you have your own, but like, we've been asked to make a dance with construction workers who don't dance.
Yes.
There have been people that have tried to get us to work with a football team.
Uh-huh. Yep.
We have been asked to do a show in a very high-end fashion store.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Which we actually did.
That actually one we did.
Yeah. Most people don't know about this because, like,
secret.
It was a secret.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to tell the listeners about it?
Oh my goodness. Well, I would be thrilled. We got an invitation. Well, we got an invitation to pitch a project. To be on, what was it? A platter. I feel like there were several options. We were one of the options, and we got selected.
Wait, can
two.
I? Can I say one? I'm sorry. I know I asked you to talk about it.
Yeah,
but
no,
you,
please.
I love. Okay, so we got an email. This was actually last year.
Yes,
we got an email, And it's a basically it said like, do you guys want to have a meeting about an interesting possibility for a project?
Yes.
If you do want to have the meeting, you have to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. And I can't tell you where the project will be until you sign it and we have the meeting. And what did you say?
I said, sure, no problem. And I signed it.
Yeah. And I said, definitely not. So that, and then
that's how it started.
We proceeded to go to the meeting and sign the non-disclosure agreement anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I stick behind, just to say my reaction is usually maybe no, and yours is absolutely.
But we switch at some point.
We do. Yes.
Yeah.
I put out a lot of maybe no's and then something happens and I'm like really in. And then usually when I get in, you're like, I don't know if we should do this.
Exactly.
Which is actually harder, just to say. Like, I think my approach is really sane and yours is
tough.
Yeah.
Can be tough, yeah. Depending on the timing of when that seed of doubt shows itself.
Yeah. So okay. So and they asked us to like put a proposal together.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Which for us meant we really had to go pretty far down the road of making something. I think we can't, you know, we really figured out what we would do. And since it's done, I believe we can say what it is.
I think so, too.
What it was.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Well, and I feel like I just want to sort of, like, own up to my own uncoolness in that when we first, you know, it was all this email. And then when we first found out the store, I mispronounced it as Hermes.
Hermes.
And thought, this is fantastic. I've never been into a Hermes store, but how wonderful. And it was only in the first meeting that I found out it was Hermes.
Yeah. Did you think there was like little Greek god like shoes? You think with those little wings on it? Yeah, you're like, great. It's a messenger store.
I know. I love it. And it's sort of textury. I was like, this is gonna be fun.
Yeah.
No, I completely was thinking, the Greek god.
Yeah. Okay. So it was at Hermes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We did a show there around this time last year, which is crazy. It was a piece that we made about the employees at Hermes. So we all sort of disguised ourselves as employees, sales associates of Hermes, and we were kind of embedded within the life of the store. And revealed through, you know, stories and dancing that we actually weren't employees, that we were performers, though. And it was like, I mean, I really loved what we made, and it was a really strange, completely strange, like, scenario for us to be in. I mean, mostly because we couldn't invite anyone, really. Like we sent out an invite to, like, our list, which is like a few thousand people, and we could only let like 20 of them in or something.
Two per show.
So that was weird. That's definitely a how did we get here moment.
Absolutely. That's a huge
one.
And then we didn't fit in. I think, you know, I think there's something so great about the question that implies that, like, I don't know, some version of like, who let us in and what are we doing? And, you know, it really, I think we really felt out of place in a lot of ways. And then I think to, you know, to feel yourself a bit out of place and to bring people with you on that is just a bit of an intense experience.
Yeah, because there's been other moments when we are kind of like, how did we get here? But it feels less out of place. Like, days go by at Brookfield Place in the mall.
Yeah.
Which I would have, I would have that moment every time we would go to, there was a, so we did a show called Days Go By, and it was in a mall. And we actually, one of the times that we went to go visit the mall, there was a car parked in there. And it was like a, you know, like you could enter here to win this car, and it was a Lincoln, like some sort of Lincoln SUV. And I got very obsessed with the Lincoln SUV and asked them, begged them to bring it back for our show.
Yep. Yep.
And they
it was
did.
So great. I know.
And then we had a car. So then we had a car commercial in our show.
In the middle of the show. It was so great.
And Danny Pudi, amazing, hilarious, amazing. Wonderful
Who
mover.
Flew out to be in the show, which was,
Yeah, I know. If people know Danny Pudi, you probably don't think like, oh, he's a great dancer.
Such a great dancer.
Yeah. So Danny Pudi played this guy who was interested in the car and then sort of moved on to reflecting about his bad high school dance experience or something like that. Yep. I forget. It was many years ago.
Yeah, it was exactly that. It was exactly that. While playing air guitar.
Yeah, but Dan, when I would see, when I would look up and see, and I was like talking in the show, and I would look up and I would see Danny Pudi in front of this Lincoln like SUV playing air guitar, and I would have that moment of like, how did we get here? How did we get Lincoln to give us a car? How did we get Danny Pudi to fly from LA? Why are we doing air guitar? Like, this is what we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, it was so great.
But I've been having this feeling, and I think you have had it too, of how did we get here a few times this year, because we're sort of in a research and development phase for a totally new thing that is going to happen in May of 2025. I don't know that we're supposed to announce it, so
I know. But technically, this is just a conversation.
I think it's just a conversation. I don't know how many people listen to it, ultimately. You don't think we'll have a big audience?
Well, I think it'll be just the right audience.
Okay, my feelings are hurt.
No, no. I think it will be like, Wait, shoot. Am I supposed to do a pitch?
Yeah, because you hurt my feelings.
Oh, no, friend. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I think it'll be the perfect audience, because sometimes we make things for a more intimate group. And I think this could be that kind of situation, which is all to say, it's not making a big public announcement.
Okay.
But those of you who are listening right now, we so deeply, deeply appreciate it.
Yeah. I didn't even feel like you did a pitch when I put the music on, but that's okay.
No, I know. I was too worried about having hurt your feelings.
Yeah. My feelings will take care of themselves. As they do.
As they do.
Okay. Yeah. So we have been spending a lot of time in this very unique, totally iconic, really, really sort of like kind of breathtakingly marvelous location, because we are going to make something for this place.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to tell people where we've been.
The New York Public Library, the main branch with the lions.
Thank you for pointing out the lions.
Well, I feel like that's so often people are like, wait, the one with the lions?
Yeah.
I just like to get ahead of it and say like, the one with the lions.
The lions named Patience and Fortitude.
Yes.
Yeah. We will need them so much.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
In the coming year.
Yes.
So we're going to make something for the New York Public Library. We don't really know what it is.
Yeah.
It was a lot of questions. And, but I mean, we've both been spending time there.
Yeah.
And it's great. Like, I used to go there. I used to go to the Rose Main Reading Room to work when I was writing something. I was just like, oh, this is such a great place. So I would work in the Rose Main Reading Room, but we're spending time there in a totally different way now. We're going to look at various things in the collection. We're going to visit these rooms that you normally can't get into. We're taking tours with staff members that are taking us to places that you're not, like, we've seen the stacks.
Amazing.
The actual stacks, the real stacks.
Yeah.
Like, we know that under Bryant Park it's essentially just like just a whole block full of stacks of books and periodicals and journals and everything.
And card catalogs that are all outdated or no longer in use. And
So we've been spending all this time at the library. And I feel like we've both found some like things that we like there. Can you share something that you found at the New York Public Library because of this project?
I mean, one of my favorite poets is Donald Hall, and he has sometimes they'll have these folders of items that I think are just hard to understand exactly how to label them, and so they all get put into a folder called ephemera, and Donald Hall has an ephemera folder.
Wow.
And it's magical.
Yeah.
And it's canceled like checks, handwritten, just and letters and notes and things, nothing particularly, like there's no like poems or manuscripts, which those exist, but you're sort of asking for like that. But in the ephemera, the thing that I can't like kind of get over is that Donald Hall would send out Christmas cards, and he would have them printed, and he would print one of his own poems on a card that he sent out for to celebrate Christmas. And I don't know, like I think
the front of the card, like instead of like a picture of a Christmas tree, the front of Donald Hall's Christmas card was just a Donald Hall poem. Wow.
And there's something so humbling in that. There's something so, I don't know, I think like I can elevate poetry sort of above the performing arts, because I think as a performing artist, you're really pitching your wares. You're kind of in this like service job, if you choose to see it that way, or I don't know, or do it the way we do it, where we go into unusual places and we just do our shows, or I feel very much like I'm in the service industry as a performer. I kind of understand my place in it. I don't feel like an artist. I feel like a sort of gig getter. Like I feel like I really like work, and I'm out to like entertain people and hopefully make them laugh, and so I always sort of elevate other art forms, but particularly poetry, sort of above the need to kind of like have some element of self-promotion. And I don't know why
I just want to say for the record, you definitely do. You value poetry as like one of the highest forms of art. Yeah.
Just incredible. And there's something about the like the small level of, and I don't even think self-promotion is right, but kind of, you think of who you'd send a Christmas card to, and those are your closest friends.
Yeah.
And there's a way of sort of saying, I think, like, hey, I don't know if you caught my last collection of poems, but like this one I thought was really great. I don't know. Like there's just something that was like so meaningful in it. And, and then he'd say a little something on the inside. I mean, it also felt hugely invasive, to be able to sort of read these private notes.
Yeah.
But really special.
Yeah. 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 I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. I know. It's crazy. It's like, why did they save that?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And how did it... Yeah, and just the process that a librarian at some point just, opened it, read it, and decided it doesn't go here, I guess we just start this new folder of just life.
Yeah, ephemera.
Ephemera.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just...
But
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm sort of just like... I'm like a terrible fisherman. Like, I kind of just go to the library with, like, no fishing pole, and I just sort of, like... swipe at the water with my like hands and hope to catch something. But I feel like you're actually going on like such a more like concentrated, meaningful like journey. And
That is incredibly kind of you to say. I don't think it's true. But I feel like it tells a really wonderful story about us. So, like, I would like it to be true.
I really think it is.
I don't know that it is.
I feel like you haven't, like, I mean, I know a bit about what you're, a few of the people and the sort of era, but we just had a really funny rehearsal where I said, like, well, so I know there's going to be poetry in the show. And you were just like, why are you putting poetry in the show? And I was like, no, but you're, what?
You're
no
doing
poetry?
It, right? No. Okay. No, I don't think so. I don't think there'll be poetry in it. But that's because I don't know that, I mean, that's an interesting problem. I don't know that I think that like dance and poetry can really go together. I mean, I think they can. I think we have put them together twice in a way that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Once is in Many Happy Returns, where there is a hidden poem in Many Happy Returns, and I think people have no idea, but it's actually a very rigorous poetry structure called a villanelle. And it's a villanelle that I wrote about the dance that you're doing. It's not really about the dance, it's just sort of about like time and stuff. I don't know. Anyway. So there's a little bit of poetry in that show. And then honestly, when you did the dance to Donald Hall reading, which poem was it?
It was Without.
Yeah. I love it. You won't even say it without like a giant sigh. I know. Yeah. And then like a follow up sigh.
Yeah.
And then like more sighs.
I know. I could just sink my whole morning.
Yeah, that one, I mean, I loved that so much. But I just think dance and poetry are so similar, actually.
Agreed. Yeah, totally.
And it's you can't really do much but like one to one. Like they both have to sort of be aligned in their minimal kind of abstract expression of the same kind of feeling.
Yep.
Like it would be so weird to like have Donald Hall's poem otherwise on and then like you doing like, I don't know, dances from the running show or like, you know,
totally.
Like you can't, there's not, I don't know. I feel like it doesn't, the two don't sort of allow for contrast in an interesting way. Whereas I feel like a sort of more everyday basic language does. And then dance is the sort of poetry in the show, in our shows, I think, in a lot of ways. So I think we can get away with like a moment of it, but I don't think we could like make a show of poems and dances.
I totally agree.
But I haven't been going to the library reading poems, first of all. I guess if you're a bad fisherman, then I have a very great tackle box, is what you were trying to imply. And I don't think that's true, but because I feel just as sort of overwhelmed by the possibilities of the place as you do. Because, I mean, it has like, I mean, there's sort of no corner of humanity that the library can't touch. I to speak to something you're saying, so most of my time at the library I've spent kind of around, well, I'm a big Frank O'Hara fan, so I started going you were like going to the library, you were trying to like bust into every room. That was sort of your approach. And then I like signed up for like a researcher's account, and then I had to sign up for a secondary account, and then I had to get a special library card, and I went through that whole process, and then I registered at the Berg Collection, which is the collection of American literature, and I created like an account for myself there, and then I started a folder of Frank O'Hara related material.
See, friend.
Yeah, and that is the difference, for sure. I decided, like, the way in is through like a very, let me find the smallest door that I feel like comfortable going through. And I don't know that that, like, so Frank O'Hare is a poet that I love. And I think this is what led you to then go into the Donald Hall folder, because I feel like you got into a bit of a, like, oh, I love poets competition with me too. Like, you have your poet and I have my poet.
Yeah.
It wasn't that?
It wasn't that exactly. But I think that, well, it's fair to say we have a very different, our processes are really different. And I feel like mine involves this weird, constant sort of like, I've gone 3 inches further down the road. Let's all like get into a room and I'll share these, everything plus these new 3 inches. It's like constantly rerunning a race, but making everybody like start at the beginning and being like, no, the race is now only, you know, 4 feet longer, but let's go from the beginning and like go through the whole race. I just have this sort of like need to share, because somehow it's sharing, I understand something about you know what I'm doing. And so you know, we've been working on this for golly, like
a few months,
I'd say. Yeah, let's just go with it. 9.
I mean, I feel like the first 5 of those months was just sort of trying to figure out if this is going to happen, which I feel like is the producing side of work.
Yes. But I also think in the is this going to happen, we were also trying to make things to understand what we would make so that we would feel good agreeing to do it. So I feel like we were, you know, we were in a process of making.
Yeah. I feel like in earnest, I didn't really like sit down and roll up my sleeves and like sit with a blank page and like type something.
Yeah.
The show until maybe 3 months ago.
Okay. That's fair.
But
so
that's fair. I totally disagree. Moving on.
Well, you know, it takes me a while.
Yeah, sure. But I agree with what you're saying. Like, there is a whole process of like, what is this going to be, that I feel like kind of, for me, I will just say, like, I think the worst thing to do, and I admire that you do this often, like, is to just sort of not know anything and walk into a room and feel like I have to make something up. Like, if I just like don't know anything, I feel like I need to get to know a bunch of things so that when I sit down, open my computer and say, like, it's time to start typing something, it doesn't actually feel like a blank page anymore. Like, I know something. Like, I know, it's a sports show, and we've decided that. And like, I feel like, you know, there's a voice that starts to come out because of some sorts of decisions that we've made about the way the thing's going to be framed or produced, or, you know. Yeah. Even sometimes it just helps to be like, okay, it's this time of year. Great, it's March. That's the first line. Uh-huh. It's March. Uh-huh. And then, like, it doesn't feel blank, you know? Like,
yeah, totally.
So I'm always trying to trick myself into feeling like something's already been decided and done, so that then I can, like, start working off of that.
Yeah. Makes so much sense.
I don't know how we got off on that. And this was, you were going to say something.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I wasn't trying to out.
Oh, you were trying to you were doing like a poetry duel. You were like, I have.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to poetry. But I felt, as I said at the time, like I felt like, you know, I committed myself to sharing the material, but I kind of wanted it to be surrounded by
poetry,
or, you know, interspersed and shared with language. And I assumed you were working with poetry, so I thought, I've got a great solution. I'll have everyone, and friend, I'm only saying this just in case there's some diehard poetry fans who listen to the episode. It's Donald Hall's wife Jane Kenyon's poem, Otherwise, which is one of my favorite poems. And
it's Donald Hall.
Oh, no.
Donald Hall reading Jane Kenyon's poem. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay.
In the show, in three acts.
No,
but it's
in three acts. It's
Donald it's without.
Hall.
Sorry. Okay.
I know. Oh, it's confusing. And then Otherwise is Jane Kenyon's. But in the poem without, they talk about putting together the book of poetry otherwise.
Yeah.
So it's all soup.
Yeah, and that chemise, that beautiful chemise, which is a type of shirt.
Yes.
That they got in Pondicherry.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to get sunk again.
Yeah. I always love that. Like, I mean, I do love that about poetry so much. Like, I can't tell you. Like, I just got so confused. It's Donald Hall's poem, Without, which is sort of about his wife, Jane Kenyon.
Yes.
And he mentions her poem.
Yes.
Which is called what?
Otherwise. Yeah.
And I couldn't remember any of that, but I can distinctly remember the words Pondicherry and chemise.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe reading Chekhov out loud, aloud.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny. I just remember lines from the poem.
Yeah. Well, you said this thing that I think about a lot, that while you're biking, that there are just certain lines of poetry that will just sort of cycle through your mind. And I think otherwise, there's a line that Jane Kenyon writes about getting out of bed and standing.
Getting a delivery. Amazon? Are we getting, or some food? What are we getting delivered?
It's Dave. Definitely not food. Dave's here.
Yeah, he's usually making breakfast as we
I know.
And he's been very quiet this morning.
I know. I made a special request.
There's a whole episode in which he's like sharpening the knives.
I know. Yeah.
I feel like he's going to need a smoothie soon, so we're probably going to need to wrap it up. Plus, this is 42 minutes.
I know. Well, it's two episodes, potentially.
Maybe it's two episodes. Crazy.
Maybe it's two episodes. Anyway, all to say that I feel like there are I think one of the most powerful sort of uses of poetry is that just one line will sort of like imprint itself on you, and then that line sort of, you know, I don't believe really in mantras, but like that line sort of like exists in your life, as a refrain, and I think about you biking, and then, you know, multiple times where you've said, I just kept thinking about from a Frank O'Hara poem, the master, what am I?
To the harbor words? Master.
Harbor master.
Yeah.
That, you know, the lines from that I feel like have stuck with you in a way, and which of course led me to read it and now stick with me.
I think
in a way.
Yeah.
It's like a transfer.
Yeah. I think that's the only poem that I could recite. Like if I were at a really weird party.
That sounds like a great party.
Yeah. And the host went around and said, like, everyone must recite a poem from memory. I think I could do that one.
Wow.
It's the only, but that's it. What do you mean, wow?
I love it. I mean, it's
terrible,
not
a terrible party, first of all.
Oh, first of all, it's the best party ever.
Yeah.
It makes me so nervous because I don't think I could get through. I think I could give you a line from like 20 poems.
Right.
One word, one phrase, or one line from 20 different poems, but I don't have a whole one memorized.
I guess you're sort of proving your point about the fishing at the library.
Exactly.
Like you could give 20 lines from 20 different poems. And I could, I think I could pull off one. I would love to look at it one time before, like, I might, like, run to the bathroom. Like, host, I love that game. Let's do that. I just have to pee first. And then, like, go to the bathroom, pull up the poem, read it one time, and then I think I'd be good.
Yeah. Definitely, I'm proving my point. Exactly.
So I have been spending time in sort of like what I would call Frank O'Hara's world, which is funny because he was in this school of he was in a group of poets that people referred to as the New York School of Poets. Robert Motherwell, a painter, actually named them that because Robert Motherwell was part of this group of poets, painters at the same time, like, you know, de Kooning and who else? Who are the painters? Like Larry Rivers, Grace Hardigan, Jane Freelicher, like this group of Jasper Johns. I don't know, actually. Anyway, a group of painters called the New York School of Painting. And so Robert Motherwell kind of named this group of poets the New York School of Poets.
Yeah.
Which I always think like sounds like way too formal. I mean, like the Bloomsbury Group, you know, it's like it was much less formal than it sounds. Like when you say the New York School of Poets, it sounds like a group of people who like went to poetry school together. Yeah. Ironically, a lot of them did, but they went to Harvard.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think we've ever talked about this. Donald Hall.
No.
So Donald Hall and Frank O'Hara, I am pretty sure, were at Harvard at the same time.
What?
Yeah, so I don't know. I would have to look into this, but Frank O'Hara went to Harvard in like 1950, the early 50s. And when he was a first-year student, John Ashbery was in his last year of...
Love him.
Yeah, yeah, of Harvard, and they became friends. And I think Frank O'Hara was roommates with Edward Gorey. Like, there's...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and so many... Kenneth Koch was at Harvard at that same time. And I'm pretty sure Donald Hall was. But they weren't friends.
Sure. I could see that.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I don't know. They weren't enemies either, just to say. Because I think there are sort of weirdly poetry enemies. But that was not them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also so fascinating because Frank O'Hara died so early.
Yes.
So it feels like his... poetry feels, you know, just like it exists in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Mid-60s. And then I feel like Donald Hall's poetry exists closer to when I got to know it, which you know, in my, like, he was alive while I was alive. And so it's so interesting how I wouldn't think of them as contemporaries at all.
Yeah, it's just that Frank O'Hara died when, you know, a tragic accident when he was... In his 40, he was like 42, maybe. I don't know. But like John Ashbery is still alive and still, I think, writing. I mean, he's like 90, but he's still alive. I said like he's like 90 as if like he's basically dead. And that's really, really not cool of me. Sorry.
No, I know what you mean.
But I do think, I think they were there at the same time. And I think that they weren't like, they had very different feelings on poetry.
Yes.
And this was, I mean, Frank O'Hara was sort of like, he was a bit of a problem child.
Like,
I won't go too far into this because it's probably like, this is way too long. And, but there's this great story that I feel like you would really love, where Frank O'Hara was going to this poetry reading. He was like on his way to this poetry reading in Staten Island. And I think the poet Robert Lowell was going to be there as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it's Robert Lowell. And Frank O'Hara wrote a poem. So he took the Staten Island Ferry.
Yeah.
And he wrote a poem on the ferry ride to the reading.
Oh, God. Yes.
And that's what he read. Like, that was the thing that he read. And it's a really great poem. It's called Lana Turner Has Collapsed.
Oh my God, yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, so he wrote that
on the ferry ride.
On the ferry ride. And then
that's
like
a fast ride.
Yeah, I mean, back to this, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, so he wrote that on the ferry ride, read it at the poetry reading and like conversation, and then they like, in my mind, then they turn the mic over to Robert Lowell and they say like, "Well, what did you do? What did you bring?" And he said like, "Well, I didn't write a poem on my way here."
What is that? That feels like that's just bitter.
He was bitter. I also think he was dismissive. Like, it was I think there was a genuine feeling of like, that's not how art gets made, Frank. Like, art doesn't get made on the way from point A to point B on the ferry. And and this is, you know, where I feel like, you know, I feel like you have these sort of like, I don't know, weird art ancestors that you chose. Mm-hmm. And you know, mm-hmm. Frank O'Hara is such a huge one to me. And I feel like, I don't know, the way that I believe in the immediacy of like
Yeah.
this thing kind of flew out of me, and I can work on it after that. But like the immediacy of the way he wrote that, I think is amazing. And he, I mean that, and it wasn't strange for him. That's just what he did all the time.
Well, there's also such, I mean, one of the things that I've loved in getting to know a little bit about him is also just he worked.
Yeah,
Like,
he worked. Yeah.
and I think there are these sort of like, you know, there's many, but I feel like sort of two distinct like definitions of artists. I think there are artists who sort of feel like they make art and that's kind of an exclusive endeavor of their lives, and that's kind of, you know, and that, and I think they need, I don't know, there's some sense of like that is all. And then I think there are artists that really work,
Yeah.
and you know, and I think of like George Saunders, like really teaching, and like that's just a big part of his time, and
Yeah.
he writes, or you know, I think, and I don't know,
No,
I feel
completely.
like,
I mean, yeah. I think of that with like Grace Paley and Tilly
yeah.
Olson, and like, I mean, Grace Paley, who's like, I think people are like, well, why didn't she write more? Why didn't she write more? It's like, well, she was working.
Yeah.
You know, like she couldn't put out as many books as Hemingway because she was. She was like a working class mom who also was a huge sort of activist and organizer. And like she was just working.
Just working. And I feel that there's something, you know, I also really believe in that as a way that I think some people, that is, though, that is the best way to access the most meaningful art, is that you're living this really dual existence,
Yeah.
I think. I
Yeah.
mean, as you're saying, that you don't want to start writing until you can anchor yourself in something actual in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that makes so much sense, because you're not, I don't, you know, I don't think you have an interest in sort of being in a residency alone in a perfect environment where you can just sort of like examine your own ideas, but that
That
you
sounds
sort
fun, actually.
of for like a morning.
I think it sounds great.
I think there are people that are, you know, being in the world, being on the Staten Island Ferry,
No,
you know,
completely.
having some like pressure to like, we're all going to get together and listen, and I'm going to sort of make something in response to that.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
really, I love that. I believe in that. Makes,
Yeah.
you know, makes sense to me
Yeah,
as a
completely.
person.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. I'm going to ask the question again. How did we get here? Because I don't even know
Yeah.
how we got here in the conversation.
Yeah. Shoot.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Huge news. 2025, we're going to be at the New York
At the
Public
public.
Library.
Yeah,
The big
I
one.
know. It, the big one with the lines.
With the lions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe we'll figure out something to do there.
We definitely will.
Yeah. Okay. You want to take us out?
I would love to. Hello, everybody. It's Monica and Ravi, and we are coming to you at the end of the year, asking you to support our work. We're so excited to be presenting Many Happy Returns in January and making a new work for the library, and everything is for free. So thank you so much for your support in allowing us to share our work. I really ran out of music.
You really did. Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. Yeah, I think you're doing great.
It just feels like it's really good to say it's all for free,
I
which
forgot
it's
though.
not for free at all.
Yeah, the library is going to be for free.
Yeah.
Many Happy Returns will be
Playwrights
for free.
Horizons
Yeah.
run is for free.
We didn't
I
even
know.
announce Playwrights Horizons yet. I don't.
Oops.
Yeah. Well, we'll release this episode towards the tail end.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Anyway, free, 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 but only
Yeah,
with your
which
support.
exactly
Yeah.
is, of course, is not free at all, but is with incredible support. Yeah.
All right, friend, thanks.
Absolutely.
It's
I'll
almost
talk to you
55 minutes.
soon. Oh, God. 2 episodes, though.